It's John and Rachel. It's your Jagoff Late Night, and we call it episode number 2 because we're so creative. We also promised that we were going to start wearing t-shirts that were local. Guess what?
Our first week of being late is our second podcast episode.
There you go.
So
it was an
we
epic
ran
fail.
Late, but it's good because we have prizes for everybody who came. And that's one reminder is that
yes!
when we record this on Friday evenings, we want you to come to the studios at 5000 McKnight Road and hang out because there are sometimes some prizes like tonight.
And there's wine. Come on, yeah. If that's not something,
I'd see
right?
The beer as well.
How about tonight, though? Are you so excited? Because we thought episode 1 was going to be phenomenal because it was out of the gate. Tracy had us ready for success for episode 2. So first and foremost, Police Chief Larry Scarrato. I am so excited to chat with him. He was all over the news today, specifically, about his four pillars. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, and we have David Rullo, who is a writer. We had him on the radio show and the podcast before, but he's here because, have you ever heard of the Beehive?
Yeah. If you're our ages, you know exactly.
Look at, there are people sneaking in behind the camera.
I love people sneakers.
Don't trip over the big cables.
And Hal B. Klein, who has been on the podcast many, many times, but not this version, so we're excited to catch up with him on your favorite food.
Yeah, pizza. Mm-hmm. And Denzi is here as our musician.
His name is Denzel, but we call him Denzi because his girlfriend calls him that.
There you go. Every week, we always try to have a local musician. But first, if you're listening to the podcast or watching the podcast for the very first time, we'd ask that you subscribe to it and then share it and maybe even leave a comment, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube or on Apple iTunes, wherever, Spotify, wherever it is. Leave a comment, share it, and say, hey, these Jagoffs aren't so bad.
If you like it. If you don't, just say nothing. Anyway, just kidding. Thank you so much again to Q92.9 Studios for giving us a studio, and a special thanks to People's Gas, because you will see throughout the night, they are a sponsor of ours, and we did a little call 811 before you dig campaign, so that was a lot of fun. And Dryer Vent Wizard.
Yeah, you know, this is the time where your dryer could be getting clogged, and it's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
It's also an efficiency thing as your gas bill starts to rise, or your electric bill starts to rise in the winter. This is a good time to call Dryer Vent Wizard to make sure you clean out the dryer vent, you jag off.
Listen, and that is who the sponsor is for our new Jag Braggers. Hopefully you really enjoyed Marcus, Tressa, and Monica, because they're doing an amazing job on our G-Jet and where you at. And that's who sponsors it, is Dryer Vent
Wizard. And you'll get a little taste of those this week. But in the meantime, what was on the blog this week? Rach, you're up first.
Oh my gosh. Is it mine? You want me to go mine?
Go yours.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, mine was a little parody on, if you're watching the commercials, it's political season. So it was Dugan, not D-U-G-A-N, the other Dugan who's running for office. And I said, every time I watch that commercial, I'm sucked in. Why do I want to know what is happening with the woman having the party with the party hat? It's a 30-second commercial. Who cares, Rach? Move on. But I called myself a Jagoff for being sucked in.
Called you in. And then we also had a police officer, unfortunately, caught at a Walmart changing price tags.
Bad episode now, to be talking about.
Here's the craziest thing, though. This day and age, don't you realize that there are cameras everywhere in your life? From everywhere, literally everywhere. And when you go read the blog, check it out, because it tells you that the price changes totaled over 3 months, I think it was, totaled to about $130 in price changes.
Crazy.
If you're going to do
that, not so
go big.
Yeah.
Go big.
Go big or go
change
home.
A TV stand or a TV to $200.
Tomorrow, where are we going?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Women who rock.
Oh, yeah.
We're so excited for Women Who Rock. Ann Wilson is headlining. We cannot wait. Then Sunday, we're going rowing for a cause. Next week, we have two really big events that we're going to talk about, but we don't have a ton of time because we want to get into our amazing quartet of guests.
I would say
good
that.
Word.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
So thanks for joining us for episode 2. We can't wait to see the feedback from this one because you are going to love our guests. Stay with us on Ya Jagoff Late Night.
Boom.
If my younger self could see me doing these things now, I wouldn't believe it. To be a steam fitter, you need to be a problem solver. You can do instrumentation, hydronics, chillers, rigging, HVAC. I have this wonderful opportunity to grow my career.
It's not what you are that makes you a steam fitter. It's who you are. Over 100 years, and we're just getting started.
Welcome to Flamini. Can I take your orders?
You need a tap in?
No, we don't use this. We know how to yell the sandwich, the cook. Here we go.
Let's dig in.
It's John and Rachel. We love to dig into iconic Pittsburgh places like Permane's. So we brought our friends from People's Gas.
Please call at least 3 business days before you dig.
It doesn't matter if it's a big project or something small like a mailbox. Always call before you dig.
I called. We can dig in.
So please call 811 3 business days before excavating so you don't have to call 911.
Rach, I have to vent. Here's my dryer vent. This one time, I had a found a Lee Presson nail in my dryer stuff and it was not mine.
Vom in the throat. Ugh. One time, my kids left Kleenexes from one of their worst whooping coughs in their pocket.
Guys, you guys are such jagoffs. That's not the type of dryer venting we're talking about. We professionally clean your dryer vent to increase your dry time and save you guys some money.
For so we wet, like 10 pounds
you
wet.
You jagoffs, you need to get your dryer vents clean.
Now, back to your jagoff late night with John and Rachel.
John and Rachel, welcome back to You Jag Off Late Night. First guest, what's the story behind this one?
So, let's see. Well, so David, we had you on the radio show about some articles you had written and things like that. And then somewhere along the way, we found out you wrote this amazing book about Pittsburgh history.
Yeah.
You know, and it's entertainment history, but it's still history nonetheless. So, David Rullo, first of all, welcome to You Jag Off Late
Thank
Night.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
You are guest number... Four.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm very excited.
Well, the beauty of it was, as he said, you came on as our culture on the queue. We were talking to you about you're a freelance writer.
No, I'm a full-time. I'm a senior staff
but
writer.
But you had been,
yeah,
correct.
Right,
and
right,
you
yeah.
are at the Jewish Chronicle.
That's right.
And so we had talked to you specifically, unfortunately, about the synagogue shootings. And so we were saying, like, how do we cope, that kind of thing. But you had this, like, on a better note story.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we kind of kicked you down the curb a little bit because we knew that this was coming up and we wanted to have you here. So how cool that you wrote about the beehive.
And it works out perfect because the book comes out in 2 weeks.
I heard. Yeah, so, it's like we knew.
Yeah.
Is, our being late is a good thing.
That's right.
Now let me ask you a quick question before we get into the heavy.
Yeah.
Does where you work or did the beehive, did it ever have air conditioning? Because right now I think we don't.
Right. No, I think, you know, I don't even think they had fans. There was just a, they had a thick cloud of smoke. It was
okay.
Endless smoke. So,
yes.
First of all, again, thank you for being a great Pittsburgher. Yeah. We love it that, you know, we can call you our own. But the beehive, let's talk about that because there are people probably listening to the podcast and go, the what?
That's right.
Yeah. So talk about the history there and when it all started.
Yeah. So in 91, they opened what was the first real coffee house in the city. I'm sure there were some in the 60s and 70s, right? But this was sort of before Starbucks.
Yeah,
this was before Friends, where they were hanging out, or Frasier, right? This was Steve and Scott, the two guys that started it, were just friends from college that had heard this idea was kind of getting popular. And so they thought it would be a cool idea to open something. Originally, they thought Oakland, but the South Side was available. And it worked out because it sort of became the anchor for the counterculture and art movement that was developing in the 90s. And it, you know, Southside, right after they opened, 6 months later, Slacker opened, and then Groovy opened, and then...
It became
the,
a thing.
Yeah, Lava Lounge and the Laga, whatever that one was called. You know, I mean, and it just opened Rex Theater, and it just went up and down.
Yeah, so it was sort of the beginning.
It was.
It started it all.
It was.
Okay.
And then they bought King's Court.
Okay.
And, oh, get out.
Yeah, and so there was a beehive there for like 8 years.
Okay.
And that was a movie theater. They did a bunch of concerts there. Yeah. But it really was sort of like the first coffee shop in the city. In fact, their first manager used to work for Starbucks, and she sort of... stole all Starbucks drinks for the beehive to be able to make those. So
can I just point out you stud us? Did
yeah.
you hear it? I mean,
yeah.
you did.
My wife
That's
tells
so
me
perfect. Yeah. I love it. Because Pittsburghers are so known for that. Used to be, right? That's
yes.
the way we kind of
That's
can
right.
relate. But why the beehive? So many iconic places. What made you want to write about that?
Yeah. So in 1990, I was a freshman at Point Park College. It was a college at the time, and it was a very small college. It was very much like an art college. There was dancers. There were theater majors, and there were some journalists, and none of us were actually, you know, really journalists the way, you know, we were writers and musicians and whatever else. And so the only place to go in 1990, 91 for any sort of nightlife. That was, there was a racks next door.
Oh my
god! And then that was about it. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think the subway that opened up on Wood Street was there at that point.
So funny.
And so, you know, you went to the South Side, and I was an 18-year-old kid with a skater haircut, and you know, was reading Jack Kerouac, and
you just got a thumbs up from John.
and so that fit into, you know, that really meshed with me, and
okay.
So. So what happened with the book was, when they announced they were closing, the same college crowd that I went with decided to get together and go back to the Beehive. And I thought, there's a story here. And originally it was going to be a novel. And I thought, why am I doing this? There are so many stories and so many characters here. You know,
yeah.
We don't need that, mm-hmm. right? I can just tell this narrative,
yeah.
and people are going to be fascinated by it.
So and without giving away, because
yeah.
we want people to obviously get the book,
yeah.
but are you chronicling people's memoirs, your own, or are you reliving?
Yeah,
okay.
It's not about me at all.
Okay.
The intro is, you know, I write an introduction about myself, and then there's a photo all the way at the end of me, but other than that, it is really the story of the Beehive. So
okay.
the Beehive's a character, but there's a narrative arc that talks about sort of the creation of the Beehive. There's fascinating stories, just even about the way it was first created. So Scott and Steve bought the place, they did a little bit of work, they put a sign outside that said artist wanted to do the interior design, and all of a sudden they had a line outside the door. And they paid the guys with coffee tokens.
No way.
Yeah, token for free coffee. So so that, you know, that's a story. And then there were all these other people, Fat Man D,
oh,
and
yeah.
Rick Bach, and all these people who were sort of like Pittsburgh legends that got their start at the Beehive. And then there was another level of sort of national and international people that would, when they came to town, John Cusack, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that would hang out at the Beehive. And even Al Gore's official photographer got her start. She used to hang out at the Beehive. So there's a shot of Al Gore drinking out of a Beehive mug.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so, so it tells all those stories. It also, the Beehive, Steve from the Beehive sort of, spearheaded the continuation of pinball in the United States. He started a league that they used to have competitions. They started the Beehive, then they went to a place in Carnegie, then they went to the convention center, and they were so big that they were the third largest convention at the place after the car show and the home show.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's all these sort of through lines of the Beehive. It wasn't hard to write this book.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What was it like being a journalist and knowing how to write journalistically and write stories to turn around and do it this way? Was that the question you were going to ask? I know.
No.
Oh, wow. Was that a good question?
Yeah, it was a good question.
Yeah, I will tell you, this was much, much, much harder than I thought.
Okay.
I write for the Chronicle, I write 4,000 words a week.
Okay.
And so I thought, this can't be much harder than that,
right?
This was much harder.
Okay.
Trying to keep a narrative line through it and remember what story I told in the beginning and what story I told in the end. You know, I did it very old school. I had three huge whiteboards that had like all kind of lines connecting people. And like, I interviewed this person and not this person. I mean, these are going to be the chapters, and these people are going to go in this chapter and not in that chapter. I mean, it was all old school sort of reporting.
Wow. So the Beehive started in what year again?
91.
Yeah, so it wasn't quite the social media rage at that point. So
no.
How did word spread about the Beehive since there was no Facebook page or Twitter or anything like that?
Right, I think it was just, you know, it was a time and a place that could never be recreated.
Okay.
There were artists already in the South Side, and there was this sort of need in Pittsburgh to come out of its post-industrial morass, right? And so all these people had been starting to rent spaces in the South Side to live in. There was the brew house space, and one person told another person, and you know, this filmmaker said, hey, come and meet me at the Beehive.
Okay.
You know, and that's how it happened. But Scott said, the first day I opened the door and there was a line around the building.
Wow.
And his next thought was, we need to open another one of these. And he said, you know, the Oakland location was a completely different bag, because you were in Oakland, there was already Pitt, there, you know, and so it was a much harder slog, but it was an instant hit.
It was true word of mouth.
That's right.
Yeah, the old social media.
That's right.
Yeah.
And everybody almost every single person, and I interviewed about 75 people for the book. Almost every
wow.
person said, had there been social media, this place never would have happened. Right?
Is that right?
Yeah, because it, when you would go on a Friday night, there was a row of seats, and so people were sitting. There was a row of people standing, waiting to jump on one of the seats as soon as somebody stood up, and there were people ordering. But all those people spoke to one another, and they talked about what they were doing or where they were going after the Beehive or, you know, what was coming up over the weekend. And they had to talk.
Sure.
Because they weren't doing it on Facebook.
Right.
And so it really did develop a network that could not have happened.
I love it.
Yeah.
So where can everybody get the book? How
yeah.
can they find it?
So,
I mean, are you bringing us
one? I have a copy for you here.
He's a lucky
right.
guy.
Yeah, yeah, this is for you.
Thank you.
Sure. It's available. It's going to be available everywhere.
Okay.
And so when I say everywhere, I mean every single independent bookstore in the city's going to have it. Grocery stores are going to have it. Drug stores are going to have it. It's available on Amazon.
You did some networking,
it's,
is what you're talking
it's
about.
It's everywhere.
The expats. How will you get a hold of those who moved away but hung out there?
I've already spoken to many of them.
Is
and,
that right?
And it's funny. Like if there's somebody here in the city, they've told somebody else, and so people in LA have already ordered the book.
Really?
When the book first got put on Amazon, it was number one in the coffee and tea section, which is one thing, but it was number 12 in rock because of all the musicians. You know, Rusted Root got their start there, and
yeah.
so like, and
I knew that.
But that was really cool because like it would be, you know, I'm making it up, but it was like Kiss is number 8, Kiss's biography, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Bruce Springsteen's biography, and then my book,
yeah.
and then like Guns N' Roses,
wow.
and it's like, that was really cool to see.
Send me on my way,
yeah.
on my way, come on.
Where does everybody order your book?
Yeah, it's Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Yeah,
wow.
they should just go to Amazon and look up my name.
We're
or,
so happy
or
to
Beehive.
Hear
this. Is, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm
yeah.
thrilled to tell the story of the Beehive, and this is, what you're doing is really so Pittsburgh. This,
oh,
is, this
thanks.
Is great.
Trying,
is,
right?
Yeah.
We love kind of just plopping our podcast in the middle of a party.
Yeah.
All right, so our question of the day
oh
is,
okay, I'll go straight to the question of the day. Item that we would always find in your fridge if we visited, not that you've invited, but if we came in and we opened your fridge, what are we gonna see?
Espresso.
Oh, right?
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
I drink a lot
fair.
Of coffee.
Okay,
yeah.
And let me find this out. Did Tracy convey our newest thing?
She
love
did.
It. I knew
yes.
she would. Okay, so.
So for those who don't know, we have a thing, you know, we try to keep a theme going. So we, at the last minute last week, we decided to say, what's in their junk drawer? And then we said, have people bring us things from their junk drawer. So here at Q929 Studios, we have a cubicle. We never use it.
Ever.
Right. But in the meantime, there's a drawer that's empty, except for the gifts we received last week. A luggage tag from Greg Brown, as a matter of fact, would be one of them.
Golden Girl pins from David Highfield.
Yeah,
that
and
is
a
awesome.
Scotch tape. So, David, what have you brought us for the junk drawer?
Yeah, so I brought four things.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. He's stacking the deck.
So, a red pen. Because as a writer, I'm always editing,
boom.
Right?
I love
that's
it.
Right.
Okay.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Point Park, so here's a Point Park keychain.
Oh,
oh
okay.
A guitar pick, because when I'm writing stories, I play guitar.
Oh.
And the Orringer Building, which is in Braddock, and it's a rent-controlled place for artists to live. And my wife just worked on a book about it. And so...
So that's a
you
mark?
Put so much thought
that's
into
that's a sticker.
This.
I did.
I love it.
I thought all week about this.
I love
oh,
it.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the running for most valuable junk drawer item.
Excellent.
Well,
I
give him credit because he wants us to know he's a musician also, which means you're coming back on
right,
to be a musician.
You don't ever want me playing music.
Oh, heck no. We love all local music, no matter what.
David,
well,
we really appreciate it.
Yeah, this
and,
was great.
You know, seriously, open invitation to come back. We want to know how the book is doing.
Where can
thank
everybody
you so
find
much.
You at the Jewish Chronicle online there?
Yeah,
at
the PittsburghJewishChronicle.org.
Yeah.
I'm a senior staff writer, so I'm usually, if there's a story about anti-Semitism, my name's attached
you're
to
in it.
So,
you're
yeah.
Well,
David,
we appreciate you adding
you
some
so
smiles
much.
To the podcast here this
thank
week.
You, really yeah, appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank
all right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Hal B. Klein. We're going to force him into some Brussels sprout tour.
Oh, he doesn't even know what's coming.
Mancini's Bakery, 97 years in business and still getting better. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where you will see various Pittsburgh personalities like Gretchen McKay, Super Bowl MVP Santonio Holmes, KDKA's own Mary Hours, and WPXI's Jenna Harner, learning how to make the famous Italian twist bread. Follow Mancini Bakery on Instagram and Facebook, and remember to ask for Mancini's.
Welcome to Flamingo. Can I take your order?
You need a tap in?
No, we don't use this. We know how to yell the sandwich to cook. Here we go.
Let's dig in.
It's John and Rachel. We love to dig into iconic Pittsburgh places like Permani's. So we brought our friends from People's Gas.
Please call at least 3 business days before you dig.
It doesn't matter if it's a big project or something small like a mailbox. Always call before you dig.
I called. We can dig in.
So please call 811. 3 business days before excavating so you don't have to call 911.
Whether you like your sausage sweet or spicy, Richie's has got you covered. This Pittsburgh area staple has been in McKees Rock since 1945. They are family owned. They are authentically Italian, and they keep their generational recipes fresh and ready. Today, with the help of Ernie Ritchie, Generation 3, we're going to see how their sausage gets made, literally.
Very excited. I'm so excited about this. Okay, can you tell us first about the bucket?
This bucket is my grandmother's bucket, Stella. Wow. Stella, we've been mixing seasoning in this bucket for 78 years. So the bucket has to be probably 100 years old, and we're allowed to use it. It's been grandfathered in by all the inspections.
Ernie Ritchie's, right? So make sure you go visit there. It was always my place to go. I have to tell you that while Tressa got to go do a video for a long time, as well as your dad.
He mentioned it, yeah.
Right?
He mentioned
Rachel's dad goes in there and sing. Used to sing for Ernie's mom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we go way back. So make sure you can actually see the entire video if you go to yajagoff.com or all of our socials, and you can see what Tressa had to say with Ernie Ritchie.
Under the Jeet Chip column.
And
speaking of Jeeting.
That was really bad.
The genius person in Pittsburgh.
The genius person. Yeah. Can we change lower third on that?
Yes. I'm jealous. Person. Yeah.
So, Helen Klein, welcome back to the podcast. We had you on the podcast a million years ago when you were like 10. And here you are. You've changed jobs since all
changed
of this
jobs.
Has happened. And you've made a bunch of pizzas. And somewhere
along
the way, you promised you'd go on a Brussels sprout tour with us, but we'll talk about that. Just made it sweat a little bit longer on that one.
He's like, what?
First of all, how's the new job?
It's great. You know,
it's
I moved
so
over
new.
There. It's not so new now. It's been about 18 months.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Right?
I know. It's crazy.
New to me.
Yeah.
Gretchen's over there like, wow.
Yeah. Gretchen McKay, the great food editor, is over there. She goes, wow, I've had hell for 18 months now. It's constant headaches. Have you written that many words
not
for this story?
Not true.
So Post-Gazette, and was this a big transition as far as the kind of stories you had to cover? These are shorter form, longer form, or different?
A little bit. You know, it was just a broader thing. I think the biggest transition was going from, you know, a food section of one at a great magazine with a great editorial staff that we all bounce ideas off of, to a food section and a feature section with a lot of people, and having an office where you could kind of talk through ideas. And, you know, like we just talked yesterday, and we have like some great new ideas for next year, which I won't talk about yet, but one of them involves dumplings. I'm going to tease some dumplings, and that's all I'll say.
It's
going to be really exciting.
I hold my Brussels sprouts on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's nice because it allows me to do like a really nice mix of more news stories and more feature stories and do a whole thing in between. So, you know, I wrote something a couple months ago at this point now about the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board and the rollout of their new system, which was like a much more newsier story than I've ever really done. And it was great because I was able to go over to, like, you know, the politics side and ask them some questions about things that I don't understand, or talk to some people about data.
Yeah.
But then I also get to do things that I love to do that I've loved to do for a long time. So I just wrote a story about Aaron Sturgis, who's an apple farmer who grows, you know, 75 different varieties of apples. And it like, goes way back to, like, my getting a master's in food studies in 2012 at Chatham. So...
That's awesome. Yeah. What is it like changing from, you know, so we went through this craze where we were proving to everyone, listen, Pittsburgh is not the smog city anymore. We are a foodie town. We were booming with so many places coming up, and we still are, which is fantastic. And I remember a conversation with you that you said, you know what, we're missing some Cuban food, you know, and now we have some more Cuban food. And so we're getting that. But what is it like now where people go, all right, we've heard this from a bunch of different sources.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I think when, you know, one of the things that's so amazing about Pittsburgh is it's a city that is sort of has this small town atmosphere in a lot of ways, right? So you get to know people, and I think it's a different way of looking at writing about and critiquing restaurants, you know, because it used to be the old days, right? where it was, you know, the dining critic was a person with a wig. And I remember you know, like a colleague of or a friend of mine that works for a different newspaper. And when I moved over here, about just the difference between magazines and newspapers. And he was struggling because his paper was asking him to be not anonymous anymore because of just the way things are. You know, it's one of the nice things about social media, I think, is that you can get the word out and you can have these more personal relationships. But then you also have to keep like a really smart distance at a certain point of saying, like, I want to get to know you and I want to understand what makes you tick. But also, like, I can't be afraid to call you out if I need to. Yeah. I can't be afraid to do that. But it's like, yeah, you just hear these things in Pittsburgh. And then, you know, I've been doing it long enough at this point now that I see people who started as sous chefs in restaurants now opening their own restaurants.
Right, that's a cool, yeah.
Or you see people that were kind of, you know, like the hot young chef 10 years ago are now kind of like the old school, the chef that like knows a little bit of what they're doing and people look up to them in the same way that they looked up to other people. So, you know, it's like you build that institutional knowledge in anything
sure.
you do.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. And then have you seen an influx of chefs coming from, say, New York or LA, Chicago, yeah, because they can expand their, you know, small fish in a big pond out there,
yeah.
big fish in a small pond down here. Have you seen any of that influx?
You know what, there
really?
Was a little bit more of that before the pandemic. I think there was a lot of people that wanted to open things. And, you know, when rent was a little bit cheaper in Pittsburgh as well, people were doing that. But there's a restaurant opening in 2 weeks called Balbiniera, which is an Argentine restaurant in the Strip District. It's huge. It's beautiful. And it's a classic Pittsburgh story where it's a husband and wife. He's from Argentina. He cooked all over the world. The two of them met in New York when she was there after living in Pittsburgh in her childhood. And now they're moving back here.
Yeah.
And opening up this restaurant, you know. So it's like you still see that happening.
Is that the craziest thing you see as far as people wanting to get into the restaurant? You know,
that's crazy, to be honest.
Into the restaurant business because, you know, we've interviewed so many. And they literally have the passion for it.
Yeah.
Whether they're a lawyer or a laborer, you know, they open up a bar, they open up a restaurant. You really have to love it because it encompasses your entire life. And I'm sure you see that, the passion in the eyes
like
or the minds of the
piece,
people that
not
own
just
it,
the food,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and to like your point, the restaurants that work the best are ones that have someone with a passion and someone that understands business, and then they're able to work together and able to make these things go. But like, yeah, you can't love it. You can't do it if you don't love it because you're there for, you know, 60, 80 hours a week, especially when you're working to open a restaurant. And so you want to have a passion for it. You need to have a passion for it. And then you see it even more in certain niche things. So I write a lot about pizza, as I'm sure you know.
We are segueing.
It was in my notes here.
and, you know, everyone I know who's into craft pizza are obsessed, you know, and they talk to each other on the phone. They have text chains in, you know, and you'd think that like people would be competing with each other. But you've got pizza makers texting other pizza makers saying, like, will you come by? I'm trying a new cheese.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Really?
That's
pretty cool. Let's see
if the interview continues to go or if we stop for dead right here.
Ooh, yes.
Are you a flat pepperoni or a cup pepperoni guy?
You've asked him this. I know.
I think a cup pepperoni. Yeah.
Right. What's that?
A cup pepperoni.
Yes, cup pepperoni. Yeah. We can continue.
Great.
Go on to the next round. Right?
happy to be
but
here.
What was your
guest
passion
number six,
about
I believe.
Pizza? What was your passion about pizza? It's just your favorite food or?
It's, you know, it's this like the synergy of something that was a childhood favorite. You know, I still remember going to Amore Pizza in Queens, which was down the block from where my dad grew up and like where I would go. You know, I was born in Queens and going there. And I still will go out of my way to go there when I'm in New York, even though it's like nowhere near any subway line. And so it's that. And also just like when you get the pizza right, like that balance, you know, when you get that like really good bread, the right amount of tangy sauce, the right amount of cheese, maybe some toppings that work together. It's just a really perfect food. It's like, it's such a like simple harmony in ourselves.
Yeah.
You guys have had this conversation every time you've been on, and I get mad. I'm not going to lie. Like, it makes me mad because I'm not a pizza lover. So I'm like, I can't partake in this conversation. However, I am now gluten-free-ish. And so I get cauliflower crust. I love it.
He said, yeah.
Yeah.
With minimal excitement.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He goes, yeah. Next question.
I think people should be able to enjoy what they like.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what's going to work for that.
Well done. You know? Well done. Right.
That's what's going to work for your body.
He's like,
that's what's
going to
make you feel good.
Now.
Yeah. He's like, okay, Rach, now you're in the conversation. Hope you feel good.
So Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. So Brussels sprouts. Yeah. So we set you up a little bit. We will, you know, we will be honest. We were at an event and you had, you were like, oh, you know, we were talking about some things, and we said, we really want to do a Brussels sprout tour, and we're not kidding, because you know how people go on these crusades, like, who has the best strawberry pretzel jello? Like, we're tired of our Pittsburgh things. We're not. We love them. But yeah. We also want something that's different, and the Brussels sprout is beautiful, and people are making them more. So yeah. we want to go on a tour, and we want you to come with us.
I'm in.
We are. So for me, when I was younger, I was a very picky eater, and Brussels sprouts was literally one of the only, other than corn, I know corn's not a vegetable, it was the only vegetables I would ever eat. And so now, like, some of the best Brussels sprouts we ever had were on the north side. We won't say the place because you can't get them there anymore. But
well, you can, but they're not as
good. But either way, we have to find the best Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, let's do this.
So I think we need to do that, and whether it becomes a blog or whatever, or we just go do our thing and we get together one night and share.
Just like a full night of Brussels sprouts.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah,
I love it. See, we didn't have to
drag Gretchen along.
Yeah.
Oh, Gretchen's in. Yeah. I love that Gretchen doesn't like half the things we talk. She doesn't. She's like, no, that's not a good idea. Isn't that hysterical?
Yeah. No Brussels sprouts.
No Brussels sprouts.
Oh, she said no Brussels sprouts. She said, oh, you're now commissioned to be the Brussels sprout commander.
Great, great. Yes, I'm going to add that to my job title.
We appreciate your knowledge. We do. We appreciate how you are so willing to talk about, like, you find something good to say, you know, and you are that person who's willing to try different things, unlike Gretchen. But go ahead. You were going to jump in.
My question is that, you were going to ask him a question. Go.
Well, I was going to ask what his newest thing is that he's working on, because he told us about what the transition was like, but you're kind of going into neighborhoods, kind of jumping back to the niche piece. You're doing more like, this is what a neighborhood is known for, yes?
Yeah, so I picked up a series called Eat Pittsburgh that was started by Polly Higgins,
who's now
editing the health department and doing amazing work over there.
Right.
And they've got a team of like 4 people, so it's like great coverage over there. And, you know, but she left us in features, which was very sad.
Yeah.
And so I took over the series, going neighborhood by neighborhood by neighborhood. And the last one I went to was Lower Lawrenceville, which is much more contained.
Yes.
But I was on the south side before that. That was the previous story. So, you know, really getting to know a neighborhood, what makes it tick, what restaurants are essential to that neighborhood, where to eat right now in this neighborhood. And it's been fun. You know, it's a really fun way to go and explore the city.
For sure.
Well, and that leads me to a great question that I had, as far as when you go to Queens, you go to Astoria, my son lives there, and you could pretty much, people told me you can eat in 7 continents over 7 days for $7, basically. You can eat. Is Pittsburgh starting to get somewhat close to that, as far as, I mean, we now, there's 3 places to get empanadas, we now know there's various Puerto Rican food, Argentinian food, even dialects of Latino food that we never knew of. Mm-hmm. Is Pittsburgh starting to become a little bit more diverse like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're starting to see a lot more immigration here. We're starting to see refugee resettlement here. And, you know, when that happens, it brings food from all sorts of places, and it brings people who really care about what they do. And I think often it brings people that maybe didn't run restaurants where they're from that missed a taste of home. So there's a restaurant called 5-Star Honduras, which is out in Coriopolis. That's a full 100% Honduran restaurant, and it's delicious and it's amazing. So we see that, you know, Beachview has a lot of restaurants from Central America, South America. And then, you know, the most exciting thing, I think, is just the regional Chinese cuisine. That's really, it's been about a decade now where this is developing, but I have a story coming out next week on a hot pot restaurant. So it's like the first restaurant in Pittsburgh that's like fully specializing in hot pots. So you get your broth, you order a bunch of meats and vegetables and starches, and you go with your friends and you just dip things in there. And, you know, the broth gets more and more delicious as it goes. And it's doing another thing, which we don't have a lot of, which is it's open till 2:30 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Every night,
which
is very exciting.
Wow. No kidding. And where is that?
It's on the center of Oakland. It's in Oakland on the center of North Craig and Center.
Wow, get out. Wow.
That is so cool. That's how unique.
Yeah.
See, you always bring these. I'm so glad you're
here.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
I love it.
You're going to come back quarterly is what
I'm excited. I'm into
And so in the meantime, where does everybody find and follow you?
Go to the Post-Gazette food section. You can find me at Halby Klein on Instagram as well. I post all my stories there. And yeah, come see the work. We've got a lot of great writers and a lot of great things happening in food right now.
The cool thing about these days is that once the printed paper, you just read it and then it was gone. You couldn't go back and read that story. You can go back and read all of your stories.
Yeah, I mean, you can
18 months worth.
You can see Pittsburgh. You can see the best pizza list, which I'm going to update soon. Lots of really good content. Nice. You know, I think, you know, my goal is always I want you to read one thing and go there and think that it's good and come back and read more.
Nice. Since you're our foodie guy, well, this is the question regardless. If we came to your house and we opened your refrigerator, what is that one staple item that we would most definitely see?
Oh, really good eggs.
Really?
Eggs.
What's really good eggs?
Yeah.
Like brown eggs?
Like eggs from like the farmers markets around here.
Okay.
But you don't have chickens.
No.
You haven't gone that route.
No,
yet.
That's like, it's too much. I have a real big garden, but like chickens is like, there's a line.
It's,
you know,
a lot.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a
I'd
lot
rather support our local farms and buy good eggs.
There
from
you
them.
Go. See, that's such a good answer. He always has the good answers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you followed through with your direction from
I
Tracy.
Sure did.
All right.
Sure
so
did.
What is in sure. our odds are
this is great.
Drunk drawer? Okay.
It's funny, so I brought a Valentine's stick.
Man, you have no idea.
He needs one.
I am so clumsy.
Okay.
And the biggest fallout of my professional career is I stain my stuff all the time, and I never bring one of these with me.
Are you
it's
John
sitting in a junk drawer, and I think it's like actually empty and just like dried up. I probably
that's
dried
even
up unused Tide stick that I should be carrying with me that
do you
I
guys
never
remember
do.
Remember the game show that was like, "Well, the real so and so, please
yeah,
stand
yeah,
up."
Yeah.
I don't know who to
yeah,
pick.
Right.
Yeah, so here
so
I give this.
Help
I put
me
this
for
over
some
here.
Reason, that's I used hysterical. To be a very good public eater, but somehow I hit an age where you just start tripping every food
yeah,
on your shirt.
Listen,
I don't know what age that was, but it's right now. For
episode
me.
Yeah. two yeah. is the tell-all. John's just letting it all out.
True confessions.
Oh my God, Halby Klein. It is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. We're going to watch a little where yet next.
Rach, I have to vent. Here's my dryer vent. This one time, I had found a Lee Press-On nail in my dryer stuff, and it was not mine.
Vom in the throat. One time, my kids left Kleenexes from one of their worst whooping coughs in their pocket.
Guys, you guys are such jagoffs. That's not the type of dryer venting we're talking about. We professionally clean your dryer vent to increase your dry time and save you guys some money.
For so 4 hours. Wet, like 10 pounds
you
wet.
You jagoffs, you need to get your dryer vents clean.
I've been thinking that Rorick Automotive needs a new jingle.
Rorick Automotive got the best cars around Pittsburgh.
Driving a Rorick, I bought it at Rorick. Picked up my new car at Rorick Automotive.
I got friends at Rorick Automotive, where the staff is nice and the dealership's loaded with brand new cars. And you can drive real far.
Hey everybody, it's your boy, comedian Marcus Cox. I'm in Ambridge, PA. We're at Marla's House, a taste of home. If you're looking for some home-cooked meals, authentically made with love, please, come on, step aside with me.
So what made you want to eventually open your whole restaurant? Because I know you probably did it out of your house, I'm assuming.
No, actually, I was at Uncommon Grounds in Aliquippa.
Oh, okay.
I started Uncommon Grounds in Aliquippa in 2016.
Okay.
And I started there as a cook. Once I started the process and got used to it, it was like, okay, boom, I got this down pat. And I learned to love it. So then outside of there, they let me cater out of their kitchen as well.
Everybody, if you are local in Beaver County, anytime anybody wants a breakfast, anything authentically made, your name always pops up.
Yeah.
That was Marcus Cox, our newest Jag Bragger, and he was doing a little Marla's House exhibition, right? He was there because he wanted us to know more about Aliquippa and that whole area, but little does he know that he's leaving Aliquippa at some point because we need his energy from some other place to go to some other places. But it was great, and if you want to check it out, you can go to our website, yajagoff.com, or our social media and watch the entire thing.
The full video, and every Wednesday and every Thursday, there's a new G-Jet and a Where You At, so make sure you get on the list. In the meantime, welcome, Police Chief, City of Pittsburgh, Larry Scarrotta. Welcome to the Ya Jagoff Podcast.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, the good news is that you were born and raised here, right? Or you originate. You were here. You left for 5 years. You came back. So the bottom line is, you know that Jagoff is a term of endearment when we want it to be.
Now I do, and now I know I can call all my officers that, and nobody will be mad.
Listen.
And somebody will represent me in court, I think.
We will. I got you. We got you.
We'll find one somewhere.
Nobody will ever get mad about it.
It's the way we work. Yeah. We have wanted to have you on because you have been such a positive energy in our city, and we love seeing that kind of energy. And specifically this week, the timing couldn't be even better because they've been talking all over the news about you discussing your four pillars of what is so important to you and how you're sort of operating.
Right.
What has that been like? Because let's preface with thank you for your service, because you are used to leading people for protection. And now you're like, I realize and recognize that I need to get into the communities and do this. That you're not a public speaker, but it's something that you felt you needed to do. What has that been like?
It's super cool. Like, I get to go out in the community and meet people that I'd never met before, different neighborhoods. I said something cool about like doing this job with people I love, for people I love, in a city I love. And that's kind of cool about Pittsburgh. Awesome. That's kind of cool about coming back.
Yeah, that's great.
So let's just get into your career as a police officer, right? You go up through the ranks. You, like any profession, you kind of have to move out of town before you become an expert. At least move 50, what is a radius of 50 miles away before you become an expert. But you leave. And when you left and when you came back, what does the city look like from when you left and when you came back? Even we just talked to Helby about food. We talk about all these different things.
Oh, I listened to the food part because that's what I missed when I left.
Yeah. Really?
I went to San Diego, pizza's terrible. I go to Dallas, Italian food's terrible. I come back and right at home
that
again.
Is so
great. Like the restaurant scene here is insane. And it's kind of so cool from like Gaucho downtown
to
Ironborn in the Strip. Like there's so many places that are just very different. The whole Smallman Street corridor is different now. So you've seen Pittsburgh just grow. Like it become real, like just continue to grow while I was gone. And that's really cool to see.
So it's cool to come back and see it in a positive light as far as that's concerned. Super cool. So you're here, you're adjusted, you're readjusted. There's a lot on your plate at this point. And, you know, policing is so different these days because, you know, it's there's a lot more mental health issues, right? And we're at least recognizing all that. So
well, I was going to say that's one of the pillars, right?
Yeah. When you went to the academy, did you learn that because it was a while ago, or you learned this through the process of your professional growth?
Yeah, I think they didn't teach you that.
Yeah, either. Right.
Exactly.
In the 90s, you just learned to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter what you saw, deal with it.
Yeah.
And you compartmentalize and you just move on. And then when you leave and come back, now everybody wants to hear what you have to say.
Right?
You
say
right.
You become the expert. But like being away from the profession, you see like how it's impacting people, how it's impacting officers after they leave 20 years later. Right. And so coming back, I was like, I told this mom the other day, I go, look, you didn't give me your kid broke. I promise you when you get him back, he won't be broke.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of like where the officer wellness concept and conversation comes from.
Yeah. And it's cool that it's encouraged to be, it's not soft to say you're having an issue, right?
Right.
We all knew that, you know, as an EMS professional, you know, it was the red badge of your courage, you get blood on you, like, yeah, that was me, I handled that, I'll go on to the next call. But now it's really the courageous person is the one who either acknowledges that my partner's having an issue or that I'm having an issue.
Right. And you see it. You see people change. You see how trauma impacts the people that are very closest to you every day. I mean, police officers are very unique. We work odd shifts. So we tend to hang with each other. Each other's families are close just because of that common bond, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who else has like Tuesday, Wednesday off and works night shift?
Right. Yes.
Police officers or EMS or fire, something like that. Yeah. But you don't have traditional friends that work 9 to 5. So like that bond's really, really cool. But you also see people change right in front of you. And before we just want to talk about it. And you go, oh, he's having a bad day. Now it's a bad week. Now it's a bad month.
Yeah.
And so now I think it's really like we're in a really unique space and a unique time that we'll talk about much more openly and we provide and look for resources to deal with that trauma.
Yeah. And what does that look like? Are you personally saying to the officers, hey, I'm here, you know, how can I be of help? Or is it the simple offering of resources beyond what you can really help with, or maybe both?
Well, it's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
To say, I say it as often as anybody's willing to listen. Every time that I meet Officer Lee, I appreciate you, I respect you.
Yeah.
We're going to pay attention to your, not only your tactical well-being, but your mental health well-being. And in that we're going to start developing psychological services. Our officer wellness program really oftentimes for most police departments speaks to fitness, but it doesn't really take you on an emotional wellness journey.
Sure.
But then we start focusing on that with a lot more intention.
Yeah. For sure.
So,
that's a good point. Yeah.
So we've never seen this side, as far as I know. This is the first interview where we get to kind of just ask you random questions, you know, because we always see you in a press conference, very formal. And,
he's still very formal.
Yeah, I mean, you walked in, your call.
He hasn't called you a
jagoff
yet.
Medium starch, you know what I mean?
So,
there's no badge and all that kind of stuff. But tell us about you. Like, you know, growing up, and did you always want to be a police officer? Who was your role
That's
model?
That's such a good question.
Just let us get to the personal side of it.
Yeah, like I was 14, and I met, like, I was a jack off.
The G.
No, I listened to some of the people around me. They may use the other letters, right?
Yeah.
But I, and I, when I met this cop when I was a 14-year-old kid, I remember Mark Agiti, and he just looked out for me. He took an interest in a kid he never met. Mm-hmm. And I've always looked up to him, even though I became much taller than him by probably 2 or 3 inches. He's like 5'3", he's a little guy. And but I always looked up to him, and I thought, wow, but he can influence, impact this kid he's never met. Why can't I? And more importantly, why wouldn't I want to do that? Mm-hmm. And that's the story I tell. It's like you have the ability, when we're recruiting new cops, like you have the ability to impact somebody's life you never know. And you never know how much influence you'll have on them later in their life.
Right.
So welcome that opportunity because not many people get to do it.
That's so true. Well, and you know, when you're in the thick of it or the stage of your life that you're in, you're not thinking about it at the time until you look back and say, oh, that's a piece that I could take with me. And you do learn with every experience, you know, right. So it's so cool. And I've had this conversation with John a bunch of times. My middle son is 16 and closer to 17. And the closer he gets to older, he wants to be a police officer. And no mom wants to hear that, right? Because there's that fearful piece. It's an honor and you're proud, but then there's this like, oh my gosh, it's the scariest thing. You know, is that, do you still hear that, see that with people going through it?
My mom hated it.
See, that makes me feel better.
Not disliked, hated. Okay. The fact that I chose this to be my profession. Mm-hmm. Like she thought I was going to be some doctor. She didn't realize like I was a C student.
Yeah.
Like,
easy, hello, Mom.
Easy with what you think I can become.
You're coming in here. I need you here.
Meet me where I'm at. I know your expectations are high. But,
yeah.
But so I was like, you know, she was very fearful. And then I think that fear became some, like, it transitioned to respect.
Yes.
And she got to see how much it meant to me, more importantly, how I could impact and influence others.
Yeah.
So she started to support it. I think once you get past the fear as a mom, right? I was 19. I couldn't own my own gun. Like, they used to joke, like, when I went to the police station, like, if I got grounded, my mom would take my gun and I couldn't come to work.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny, yeah.
In Pennsylvania, if you're under 21, you can't own a firearm.
Right.
So I'm this 19-year-old cop with my mom's gun.
Oh my gosh,
and it was
that is so
it was
funny.
The running joke forever. But she eventually gets past the fear, right? We're really safe. So I tell mom, I'd say, Mom, like, your son will be trained really well.
Do you love that I just turned this interview into a conversation with me to guide my son in life?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Sorry.
PGHjobs.net.
Okay. Yeah.
our plug, we're hiring.
I love it, yeah.
For those
good.
Listening, by the way, to the podcast or to the radio side, it is Chief Larry Scarrato, Chief of Police at the... Chief of the City of Pittsburgh Police. It's so much fun having you here. Now, we have 5th generation bakers bred here. Did you happen to get any of that yet?
I did.
Yeah.
I broke my carb diet for you all. Yes.
Gluten-free.
It was important.
Nice. Gluten. Yeah. I'm gluten-free-ish.
It was gluten-free.
No, I had ish to the end because you can't help it. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I definitely took advantage of my little bit of time over there.
Okay. Not that we want to give secrets away as far as where you hang out, but what is your favorite sort of place?
What's your routine?
What's the routine, on a weekend or when you're not working, you just like to hang out at home because you're always in the public eye. How does that work for you?
It definitely is. You can find me at LA Fitness. I enjoy actually going to the gym.
Enjoy,
like, the mental, it's like a mental health break for me. It gives me an hour and a half. I turn this phone off. Like, you can break through it, but if you break through, it better really be important. And no, I think, like, you know, the demand right now, this is my 4th month, so I don't get some of the comforts that I had the last time I was here because of the seat I sit in. So, sometimes it's just like sitting on the couch. You know, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and watch College Game Day and veg out and watch college football all day tomorrow. Like, that's going to be the highlight of my day. At some point,
that's
I'll go
great
to the gym.
Though. Yeah, and like you said, you need that. And I think that's telling us in any profession, you have to take that downtime, figure out what you like, and do it.
Exactly.
So you mentioned Gaucho. Do you like to go there? Is that one of your favorite?
I like that place. Yeah. I'll give you my 4 faves.
Okay, go.
Italian. Garbarino's East Side.
Okay.
You know, I call it East Side now because we're changing. We're East Liberty.
We love it, yeah.
Minio's because I'm still on that side of town for pizza.
Oh, okay.
Then I go on the other side of town, Fiori's.
Oh, okay. You're a pizza guy too.
Yeah.
You could have had the conversation with Albie and John.
Yeah. Okay. Familia.
Oh.
And then if I want Detroit style pizza, I go down to Ironmore.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay. Okay.
So you're a pizza guy all the way through and through. That's why you go to the gym.
Yeah.
We figured you out.
I don't go there for any other reason, so I can eat food.
So I got the first half down. I did get the second half down. I eat pizza. It's been a treasure for you to come and hang out with us. We really want to have you come on anytime.
Absolutely.
You have the need or you want to tell us something or tell us deep dark secrets about your pizza. We'll take it all.
Yeah.
But we really appreciate it. But you know, we have a question of the day, right?
So. Yeah.
So we know you're not inviting us, but you know, if you ever want us to come over for pizza, we're in. And if we were to come to your house and we opened your refrigerator, what would be the staple that we would always see?
Oh, you're my meal prep. Just meat. That's definitely in there.
Really?
Oh, so you're a meal prepper.
Yes.
Because you work shift. Like, we've had Leslie Bonsi on the podcast who talks about people who work shifts, and meal prepping is the key to weight control, so you're not out there doing all the fast foods.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm only a glutton on Sunday.
Okay.
Right? So all of those places, sometimes I can hit two of them in the same day.
Okay.
But Monday through Saturday, I'm really disciplined, and that's how I stay disciplined, just my meal preps.
Oh, wow. How about
so
that?
You are a very disciplined person, obviously, so it doesn't surprise me. If you were kind of having a cheat day, what is it?
Oh, Sunday. I mean, honestly, I can become a diabetic on Sunday. I eat so bad. There's these pumpkin cookies that my buddy's mom brings from up by Ligonier.
Okay.
They're fantastic.
Okay.
So I love sweets.
Oh, and you're a sweets guy. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to probably have a burger at some point on Sunday. Fathead's usually my go-to for that.
Okay.
Like, I have my Sunday. It's pretty planned
out.
Brunch, Cheesecake Factory, you know.
Oh.
Because then you can get your cheesecake for like the end of the night, like right after dinner. You don't even have to eat it while you're there.
John, we didn't eat yet. I'm so hungry.
I appreciate you bringing us some.
Yeah.
All right. No, you didn't.
But listen, we really do appreciate you coming.
Thanks, Robert.
Did you listen to our request as far as the drunk drawer?
I got the request late.
Okay.
So I was like, well, what am I supposed to give my iPod?
Yeah. So we're not getting your iPod.
I hope the answer was yes.
That's like, but Kara said no. So I brought this, like, this keychain. So
it's a lanyard.
It's a breakaway.
Okay.
So like, you want to get choked to death.
Yeah.
That is so.
It's safety.
It's safety. You are such a positive messenger. That's what this is all about.
But my real keys were attached to this. So,
you took them off.
I'm supposed to be locked out of my house.
We do not want to hear that, Chief. Oh, my gosh. I would love to have the Chief has to call the Jags after the first interview with them.
Do you have my keys?
Hey, Jags, did you see the other end of this keychain?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. You truly are a treasure. Thank you so much for being willing.
We'd love
to have you on any time to spread your positivity, and thanks for what you do for us.
Likewise. I appreciate you guys.
Well, thanks for, you know, being willing to come back to Pittsburgh. And
we're thrilled to have
you back, as Rachel said. You're just a treat and very professional on the news. Glad you had the chance to come back and relax in our little hallway here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to...
We call him Denzi. How's that?
Oh. Our musician.
Hey, all. It is Jay here at Rorik Mazda. So for many of you that might have got, I don't know, glasses or contacts and just don't quite remember this very cute face, two dead giveaways. You know, just look for the bow tie or look for me carrying the Starbucks. Many of you have got to share some coffee with me. I just wanted to kind of reintroduce myself, but more importantly, express my gratitude. October has always been a big month of gratitude for me personally, on a way that I can thank all of my customers throughout the years. Anything that you would like me to address, whether it be with your current vehicle, a future vehicle, I'm always, always here to help, and I think that is the key differentiator. Mainly this video is just to wrap up to let you know this face is still here to help. So if you need anything at all, I'm a phone call, an email, or a text message away, guys. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, and I really look forward to kind of doing this throughout the future to stay in touch with you all.
Hey everyone, it's Channing with Made in PGH. I'm so honored to be one of the first guests on Ya Jag Off Late Night. And obviously, I'm coming at you with the 4-1 to-dos, Halloween edition. I got my vintage ghost blow mold. And I almost want to keep him up all year round. He'll be my co-host for the evening, but I don't think he's really going to say much. He's very shy. So let's just get right into it. So I'm going to talk to you about Halloween in Pittsburgh and where you can get fun Halloween cocktails and celebrate Halloween around the city. First up, we have Ritual House. They are having their Halloween bash on October 28th, and they'll have all kind of fun things, henna art, tarot card readings, and themed cocktails, of course. They will have their hot spiced apple cider, their poison apple potion, and their pumpkin spice martini. So I'm excited to try that. Next up is Butcher in the Rye Spookeasy. I think they've done an amazing job decorating their bar and really making it an immersive experience. Try their Monster Mash cocktail. or the Snow White's Curse. Spookeasy is open Friday and Saturday from 6 p.m. to midnight. Next up is the Cannibal Clown Cafe. Between now and October 31st, guests can experience this pop-up haunted dining and drinking experience at the former Double Wide Grill on East Carson Street in Southside. The menu features barbecue and carnival classics, vegetarian options, seasonal cocktail, and this pop-up is open daily for lunch and dinner. Last but not least, we have the Burton Bar. So Hidden Pittsburgh has done it again with another pop-up immersive bar experience, and the Burton Bar is amazing. If you're a Tim Burton fan, this is a great spot for you to go to celebrate Halloween. It is located at Mixtape in Bloomfield, and they have really creative cocktails. The whole night you are playing Tim Burton trivia. I went last weekend and I tried the Demon Barber cocktail. Highly recommend there, but there are so many cocktails to choose from. Tickets are $25 and you need to go on explorehidden.com to purchase your tickets and select your time slot. So I hope you guys go and have fun. I know I did. All right, and that's a wrap on the Halloween 412 do's in Pittsburgh. And me and my silent co-host are going to be signing off. And happy Halloween. And you can always follow me at Made in PGH on Instagram and Facebook, and madeinpgh.com.
All right, so we have to thank Five Generation Baker, Scott Baker. Got to get the cinnamon bread. Denzel, have you had any of this stuff yet?
I have not had any of that cinnamon bread.
All right, so it is good. Everybody who's a guest here, our audience, is getting a loaf.
It's like Oprah and Ellen. Yeah. And you get a loaf, and you get a loaf.
That's how we roll. We have to get right now to Denzel the artist. You are a musician, so how are you?
Yes, indeed. I am pretty good. How are you guys?
We're good. It's steaming hot in here, but you're cool.
When did you start as a musician? That young person who always sang kind of thing?
Yes, always sang. My mom, she used to play Marvin Gaye, Sade in the car, so I'm really in tune with that. Temptations, a lot of the old school music. So I was just in the back of the car just singing a lot as a young child, and then I grew up in a church as well.
Okay.
So I did choir there, and then I went to a high school for visual and performing arts. And sung across.
Lincoln Park? Were you from here?
I'm not from here.
Oh, okay.
Akron, Ohio.
It's ish.
Yeah. So I went to. Yes, it's a suburb.
Yeah.
So I went to Firestone, and then learned choral, and traveled through Europe and stuff like that. Did music over there. Came back, found myself as an artist, and now I do R&B.
Here you are.
So where does everybody find you online?
Yeah. So the best place to find me is DenzelTheArtist.com. Or Denzel the Artist, Instagram, or all across platforms.
Did Denzel the Artist bring us something for our junk drawer?
Yes, drawer. I brought a screwdriver.
Nice. I actually recognize it.
Yes, indeed. That's it looks familiar, right?
Yes. Yes. Always need one. Right. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah,
so. Does anyone realize that we're doing this because we need gifts to re-gift?
Yes. Yeah, you do. You do. You definitely. And this is the perfect one.
You never
know
when you need
next year, we're going to have just give them all out. All right. You have a song for us. What is it called?
I do. The song is called Glimpse. This is actually my latest single.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank Chief Larry Scarrato. We have to thank David Rullo. And thank you, Helby Klein, for coming on. Of course, thank you to Rorick Honda and Rorick Automotive in general.
Absolutely. And thanks to Dryer Vent Wizard for helping us out with our Jag Braggers. And Denzel, we're coming to you. We're ready.
Let's do it.
Should we keep the beat or something?
No.
Okay.
He said you're out. Give it to you. I'm going to just give it to you.
Give it to us.
Far and near, how did we get here? Losing track of time.